game is over when the horn sounds. The analysis ends when you say it does. This is Overtime Open Line. Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. And now, the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chess.
In front, Arvidsson to Moore, wrist shot, save. Stuart Skinner, rebound, and Skinner held on to it long enough to get the whistle. And 11-11, make a wish. Here's the furious finish. Slap shot, Fiala, toe to side by Skinner. He'll freeze it with 8.4 seconds left in regulation, and the Oilers have boxed the Kings out, and now LA must execute off a faceoff.
And they wouldn't be able to. The Oilers executed, and they win the game 1-0. A sparkling performance by Stuart Skinner. 33 saves, his first playoff shutout in the National Hockey League. And the Oilers lead the series 3-1. They will attempt to end it on Wednesday night here at Rogers Place. I'm on level 8. The watch party was here. The crowd was incredible watching the game on the big screen. Off the top there, a couple examples of the saves of the game by Stuart Skinner for Crystal Glass. Call 310 Glass or visit crystalglass.ca. Evan Bouchard, the only goal of this game on the power play at 11:49 of the second period. Draisaitl and McDavid got the assists. Oilers were 1-for-1 on the power play. The Kings were 0-for-1 as the Oilers continue to dominate the special teams as well. Rob Brown checking in. Well, Rob, Stuart Skinner goes to Los Angeles. He stops 60 out of 61 shots, and the Oilers win both games.
Yeah, it's funny. We had phone calls, you and I, after game two. People saying Skinner's not going to be able to win them a hockey game, that he's the weakness. And the last two games, he's been outstanding. He was the best Oiler tonight by far in this hockey game. I thought the LA Kings, that was their best effort of the series by far. They probably deserved a better fate. They threw everything they had at Stuart Skinner, and he was good. Very, very good. Probably stole a game for the Oilers. And Matthias Ekholm, we were talking about it with Bob before the playoffs, said that if you want to go on a long run in the playoffs, there's going to be nights that you have to win without your best game. And the Oilers did that tonight, and that was on the back of Stuart Skinner.
Yeah, I just saw it, Rob. I mean, it wasn't one of those games in which a goaltender might be diving around and extending and having to recover to make a lot of saves, but he was just good, just very calm. I mean, I thought he played with, you know, a little bit of swagger, a couple of glove saves where you just kind of saw that body language and that confident posture after he snapped it out of the air. And the Oilers, I know the shots don't flatter anybody, don't flatter the Oilers, 33-13, but the Oilers battled in front of him as well. And I will say this, Rob, because I wrote it down, when Kulak went off, with 11-11 left in the third period, the shots were 32-11 Los Angeles. They got one shot on, they did not get a shot on goal on their power play, and they only got one shot on goal basically in the second half of the third period.
Yeah, it's funny. The last final push by the LA Kings, who were good all night long, were creating, pushing, getting opportunities, controlling the play. But the very most important part of the game in the last 5-6 minutes, the Oilers did their best job of defending, and they gave the Kings nothing. There were players in the shooting lanes, players in the passing lanes. They line up on the blue line, no easy access getting into the zone. So as much as I believe that the Kings were the better team through 60 minutes, the last 6-7 minutes of the hockey game, when it was in its most important phase, I thought that's when the Edmonton Oilers played their best.
The Oilers tie a team record tonight, Rob. Fewest shots on goal in a playoff game. It's the third time they've only got to 13 in a game. Guess what? They didn't win the other two. Do you want to guess which team it was against? It was the same club.
The LA Kings?
It was the Dallas Stars.
Oh, yeah, they're pretty good defensively.
April 21st, 1999, the Oilers lost 2-1. April 11th, 2003, the Oilers lost that game 6-1. So tonight they only get 13, but they get the victory to go up 3-1 in the series. The only goal of the game by Evan Bouchard. Hey, Rob, first of all, to me, iffy penalty. I guess England maybe didn't help himself because he didn't have a stick, and maybe the referee was looking for a grab. I don't know how much of one there was. Having said that, you got to execute once you get the chance. And again, the special teams advantage just incredibly in favor of the Oilers through four games.
Well, going back to the penalty, this was an incredibly physical game. Mm-hmm. Like, unbelievable when it comes to physicality. There were only two penalties called, and I thought both calls were bad. I didn't think that was a hold on England. And Kulak, there was no high stick, none. So I thought they made two phantom calls in a game where both teams were very disciplined, considering the viciousness at time of some of the physicality out there. As far as taking advantage of a break, you have to do that. And the LA Kings did everything possible to stay out of the box, and they finally take that one penalty, and it haunted them. And this is a team that for three straight years has had no answers to the Edmonton Oilers power play, none. And 5-on-5, I think it's 10-10, the goals for and against. 5-on-5, the LA Kings have done a good enough job in this series to be at least 2-2. But you've been outscored 8-0 in specialty teams. Their penalty killing is atrocious, and their power play is creating nothing. They're losing momentum on their power play. So specialty teams and goaltending win in the playoffs, and through four games, the Oilers have had better of both.
Well, and we see, again, Rob, with the Oilers' power play, the discussion for Conlon Motorsports to help get you out there. Visit one of Conlon Motorsports' four locations across Alberta or online, conlonmotorsports.ca. We talked about it before the game. We talked about it hundreds of times, but again, we see it tonight. The options the Oilers have on the power play, Draisaitl from his shooting position, one touches a pass to Bouchard, and then that's the shot that goes into the net.
Well, it's tough for the goalie, Rittich. He's watched the games that the Oilers have had the power play in this series. He's been sitting on the bench watching, and he's watched all the film. And when Connor McDavid starts going full speed from one side to the other, I mean, you and I are up top. We know where he's going. He's going backdoor to Leon Draisaitl. And so do the Kings, and so does Rittich. So he's cheating for that one-timer. And when it doesn't come, he is all the way over facing Leon. When Leon goes back the other way, now Rittich has to scramble to get back out in front and front the shot. And when Bouchard goes far side, that's a long way to go. So the Oilers, their power play is dangerous because every time one player has the puck, they have five different guys that can score from that play. And it's almost unfair. Every time the puck gets dumped out, Connor McDavid skates it back in. They set up. When they set up, if you are passive and the Kings have been passive, the Edmonton Oilers will pick you apart. And again tonight, they only needed one opportunity. But in a 1-0 game, you just need one chance on the power play, and the Oilers took advantage of it.
And then on the Kings' power play, with 11-11 left in the third, like I said, Rob, they didn't get a shot. I mean, really the most promising chance was the sort of partial 2-on-1 that Derek Ryan and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had. They didn't get a shot on that, but that was the only time during that power play I sort of leaned forward in my chair and thought someone might score. The Oilers' PK continues to excel as well.
It does, and what I'm shocked as an LA King, if I'm an LA King fan, is why would you not start your second power play unit? Ever. I mean, the first unit has gotten nothing done, and the only times they've had chances on their power plays when the second unit has come out with Dubois and Byman as they started throwing pucks on net. And I'd have Spence on my first power play unit because the Kings are getting nothing done. So, yeah, the Oilers have done a good job. They've not allowed easy access. They're very aggressive, forcing the Kings to make decisions before they want to. But the Oilers could be as physical as they want in a hockey game because their power play for the LA Kings does not scare them, and they're not getting a sniff. It's not like Skinner's making saves and they're getting luck with bounces off the posts or the crossbars. The LA Kings in this playoff series, I think they've had 11 power plays now. Mm-hmm. They've lost momentum on all 11 of their power plays.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, they had a power play when it was still scoreless early in the first period on Friday. Oilers were able to score after that. And then here we go tonight. Yeah, I mean, that, I agree, Rob. That's because I noted the shots. It was 20-11 for LA after two, and it was 32-11 when Kulak went to the box. So in the first almost 9 minutes of the third period, the Kings had 12 shots on goal in 9 minutes, and then they didn't get one on the power play and only got one the rest of the way. So,
yep, the Oilers, the best the Oilers played the entire game was the last 7-8 minutes of this hockey game, where they gave the LA Kings nothing when LA was at its most desperate. So that, if you're an Oilers fan, that bodes well, is when the game was in its most important stages, the Edmonton Oilers were at their best.
Yeah. 1-0. The Oilers win game four over the Los Angeles Kings. It is Stuart Skinner with the shutout. All right. Do we have Corey Perry, Kellen? Okay, let's go at the mic for Edmonton International Airport. Fly nonstop to over 50 destinations. Fly EIA.com/nonstop. Here's Corey Perry.
Player of hockey, eh, Corey?
That was a
that's a yes, I guess. That's
absolutely.
Is that your style of game or what?
Oh, man, that was, you know, we didn't have too many shots, but it was defensively, I mean, you know, we kept a lot to the outside. They had some shots, but, you know, I thought our D did a heck of a job in front of us, too, clearing pucks and eliminating second opportunities. So it was great.
Everyone talks about the offense on this team. Is this kind of the banner defensive night for this squad?
I think so. You know, it's playoffs. It's these are the types of games you have to win in the playoffs. I mean, you know, it's not going to be 6-5, 7-4 every night. It's you're going to have to dig deep and play defense and grind one out. And we found a way tonight.
Just a thought on Stu's play today. He makes some big saves for you, especially when they came at you hard in the first period.
Absolutely. We knew they were going to have a push, but. You know, Stu's did what he's done all season, and you know, he's a rock back there, and we fed off that.
It was kind of a tough start to the series for him. Maybe not all his fault. He did a lot of weird bounces in those games, but the last two games just seems like he's really turned around. Have you kind of found that?
Absolutely. You know, there's some weird ones in the first two at home. You know, but you know, you can say they created those opportunities. But at the same time, we knew that that he's back there. He's ready to play each and every night, and he showed tonight.
When you come into LA and win both of them, that's obviously it's the plan, but what does that do for sort of the series, your confidence and maybe the other team's confidence?
Well, it's huge for us. I mean, coming in and taking two here and having an opportunity to go home, no, it's a good feeling, and it's not an easy building to play in, and let alone, you know, get a win here. You know, they're very good and stingy at home, and you know, we found a way the last two games.
How was the ice tonight?
It was ice.
Playoff hockey ice.
it's a warm building to play in. That's for sure.
All right, there's Corey Perry. It was ice, Rob. It was cold. Probably wasn't as good as the ice here, but that's a high score.
It wasn't as good as the ice in your drink tonight, Reed. It was.
I wish.
Yeah, me too. It did look. Going. Yeah, the ice is always going to be a little softer in warmer climate places come playoff time. Both teams have to play on it. But you deal with whatever adversity or whatever conditions you have, and you adapt to it. And I thought the Oilers did as the game went on. But, you know, it was. It's funny, the first three games of the series went one way, and then they come out and play a game like this. This is what we expected, or at least I expected, that they would play, you know, six or seven games like this tonight. The LA Kings came to play tonight, and the Edmonton Oilers were able to match them and find a way to get one more goal than the Kings.
1-0, the final for the Oilers tonight. You're going to hear from Matthias Ekholm. You'll hear from Stuart Skinner as well. It's his first career shutout with 33 saves. You're listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 chance.
David cuts left, swooping, dishing, tries on a one-timer, Bouchard scores, and it's 1-0 Edmonton in game four.
That's the only goal tonight, and it means a $100 donation to 630 Jed Santa's Anonymous on behalf of James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. 1-0. The Oilers win it. Back to L.A. Here's head coach Chris Knobloch.
Is did a really good job defending. I know they had a lot of shots. I think a lot of them were from the perimeter. But he did make a lot of key saves for us. And, you know, even, you know, the rebound control. And, yeah, his game was really good. And I don't think everyone questioned if he was ever going to make the next save. And, yeah, we're very, very pleased to have him playing the way he did tonight.
Chris, I just want to ask you about his demeanor. It's very similar to yours. He's a calm guy. Nothing seems to bother him, even the other night when goals were going in off some people's skates. How does that resonate towards the rest of the team when you have a goalie like that that's not going to get really upset, at least not in front of everyone else?
Well, whether it's a forward, a defenseman, goalie, you always want to play with guys who are giving off confidence. You know, and the goaltending position is the most important. And, you know, if the team sees the goaltender nervous or upset or just not focused, it can resonate through the entire team. And Stu's just been, you know, everyone I've seen, just rock solid the whole time I've been here. And there hasn't been very many games where he hasn't been good or really good. And anytime that maybe he's had an off game, he's taken ownership, and he's always responded and played really well very quickly. So gives the team a lot of confidence.
Coach, a great win tonight. Up 3-1, heading back home. We know it's not over, but what's the mindset with your guys? With the Kings played great tonight, but to get a 1-0 shutout, take a stranglehold on the series, heading back home. What's the mindset now of your team, the mentality?
We're just going to have to play a lot more hockey like that, and we can't always dictate how the game's going to go, and we're going to have to win a lot more games like we did tonight. We can't rely on scoring 3 or 4 or 5 goals to get those victories, and it's the playoffs, and there's going to be a lot more 1-0, 2-1 kind of hockey games. And, you know, I liked, you know, the shot clock wasn't in our favor. But overall, I was very pleased with how we played, especially in the third period with a lead. We had guys blocking shots, getting pucks in deep, and just winning so many puck battles that were key.
Thank you, Coach.
Back here. Another question about Stuart Skinner. Your rookie last season, did you envision him evolving the way he's playing in just 1 year?
Well, I wasn't really familiar with Stuart before I got here. Saw him a little bit last year, but I think so. He was a finalist for Rookie of the Year, something that's not very done very often from a rookie goaltender. And, you know, for him to do that his first year, you know, we kind of followed up with this year, just through the entire year. So to say that I expected or whatever, from what I know, I just know him really well from when I got here, and that's mid-November. And since I've been here mid-November, I've been very impressed with his play. So tonight, you guys have been asking me a lot of questions about Stuart being surprised. I'm not surprised, just because I think a lot of them.
Chris, you threw Vinny Desharnais out on the ice in the last minute or so, try to protect that lead. For somebody who, you know, kind of like Stu, very early in his NHL career, what gives you the confidence to do that, and how much growth have you seen in him since you took over behind the bench?
Well, first of all, yes, I do have a lot of confidence in Vinny, but it is Paul running the defense. It's Paul that has the confidence in Vinny. And Vinny's, we talked about our team and how we played in the third period, but blocking shots and winning battles and just making a simple play to get the puck out. Well, Vinny's pretty good at that. And we have a game on the line. And a lot of, we've got confidence in him because we know he'll make the play.
So I guess I'll ask you another question that belongs to the job responsibilities to belong to an assistant coach, but that's your power play. And I wonder if you've kind of made a concerted effort to try to get Bouchard the puck a little bit more, get a one-timer to the net, given the ice conditions seemed a little wonky to me.
I think the message has always been take what's given. Whatever team we're playing, take what's given. And in that first power play, it was Bush's time to take what's given. They were giving him the one-timer shots, and Bush has got a great shot, whether it's a wrist shot or a slap shot. And, you know, three's a charm. It took him three to get it in, but, you know, we always got to adjust. We can't rely on, you know, a backdoor pass, a pass to the slot, whatever it is. We got to change things up. And obviously the Oilers have done that, not just when I've been here. They've done it for a long time. There's no way you can have a power play that successful if you're just one-dimensional. So, you know, we've seen a lot of nice passing plays. Tonight it was, you know, a point shot.
Okay, that's Oilers head coach Chris Knobloch after a 1-0 win over the Los Angeles Kings. I mentioned the shots on goal, 33-13. The shot attempts, so that also includes shots that were blocked and shots that went wide, 74-38 in favor of LA. So they were getting a lot of pucks toward the net. Not all of them got to the net, but a lot toward the net. And Rob, I think that's... Now, I will say it's odd for the Oilers to get outshot, and odd for them or any team in the NHL to get outshot by 20. But the Kings are more of a let's get the puck over the blue line and get it to the net type of team, whereas the Oilers would be more of a, especially with their top six, more of a let's set up for a high percentage shot type of team.
Yes, but most nights the Oilers are getting 35 to 40 shots, so they might be looking for higher quality, but they're doing it consistently over the game with a lot of quality and quantity. So tonight was a game that the LA Kings, I thought, were fantastic defensively. And I thought they were very good on the forecheck. And they threw everything at the net. Now, I don't think of the 33, I don't think there were, you know, 12 to 15 grade A's. But I think what we see with the LA Kings, they throw bodies on net. They try to get tips. We saw in game one deflecting off players' skates and going into the net. They don't have Connor or Leon or Hyman. Or players like that. They have Kempe, who is a very nice player, and then they have a bunch of other guys that are capable of scoring, but not guys that are going to beat you one-on-one and do it. Most of their scoring chances are through hard work and putting pucks on net. So they played to their strength tonight for the first time, I think, in the series. I think they were much better tonight in this loss than they were the other night in their win, I believe. And that's the way they have to play. Now, for them to come out next game and do it again, it's tough. They threw everything they had at the Oilers today, and it wasn't enough. And to somehow find all of that energy and confidence to come out and do it again when you know that the Oilers are going to be a little bit stronger. This was an off night for the Oilers. The Oilers are going to be better on Wednesday, so that's what's demoralizing right now for the LA Kings, is they're like, we can't do anything more than we did tonight. And we still found the wrong side of the scoreboard.
1-0, the Oilers take it. Knobloch was asked about Desharnais out late in the game. Actually, the first pairing out, Rob, after the LA timeout and the icing that the Oilers took with a minute 21 left, they had Ekholm and Desharnais out there together playing defense.
Well, I believe Desharnais is your best defensive defenseman on the right side. I think he's played, again, there was a lot of people before these playoffs started, and there was question marks about Desharnais, about CeCe, about Skinner, and players like that. Well, they've all been excellent in this series, and Desharnais, I think, has been very, very good. And he's just a monster and a mountain of a man. So when he's out there getting into shooting lanes, it's hard to see. And I think it was game one of the penalty kills in one of the games in Edmonton, where Arvidsson three times went in to shoot, and Desharnais was in front of him all three times. He just kept curling back to the boards and regrouping because there was nothing there because Desharnais is doing such a good job getting in the way. And at the end of the game, he plays simple. You know, I'm going to get in front of the puck. I'm going to block whatever comes. And if it comes to me, I'm just going to shoot it or flip it out. Very simple play. So that's the kind of player you want on the ice when you're holding a lead. And good for Vinny Desharnais, who a year and a half ago was wondering if he'd ever have an NHL career. And here he is in a playoff game, in a 1-0 game. And he's the guy that the coach wants on the ice.
Vinny Desharnais, our fourth star tonight for Jandell Homes, Alberta's premier modular home retailer. The three stars, as listed on NHL.com, Riddick 3, Skinner 2, Bouchard 1. I think Bob called an audible when he did his and just gave Skinner the first star.
I believe so, too.
I would be, I think I would have done myself when you get a 33 save shutout. But and L.A. makes the goalie change, and Riddick obviously not tested a lot, but I thought he made a couple of good saves. Oddly enough, Rob, the first two shots the Oilers had in the third period were wraparounds, one by Kane and one by Hyman. Henrique had that good chance from the slot with about 7.5 to go. Riddick kept that because obviously at any point, if it was 2-0, it was game over for sure. But, I mean, he stops 12 out of 13 going in for Talbot and takes the loss.
Well, after game one, you and I talked about it, and we asked, or I asked the LA broadcaster, like, any thought of putting Riddick in because Talbot was terrible. Maybe LA waited too late to get Riddick in. He was good in this game. He made a great toe save on Leon Draisaitl early in the hockey game. The save he made on Kane, we've seen Kane score that. He comes around, he's flying around the net. And he gets the stick out far enough. That was a fantastic save by Riddick. And the tough part for Riddick in this game tonight, they're down 1-0. He can't make a mistake. He can't allow another goal. Everybody watching that game realizes that Skinner's on his game. And that at the very most, the LA Kings are trying to get into overtime. So they were only going to get one. Riddick has to be perfect the rest of the night. And he was. Wasn't tested a lot. But he did have to face some tough shots. So, yeah, Riddick in the first game of the playoffs coming out of the bullpen, he was excellent in this hockey game. Both goalies very good tonight.
I set the line Riddick save percentage in this game at 904 for River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement bet on it. It's 923. Ann took the over, so Ann gets the $50 River Cree Resort and Casino gift card. Okay, you can chime in at 780-496-0063. You're going to hear from Bouchard, Skinner, and Ekholm as well. The Oilers are up 3-1 in the best of seven. This is Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Cole holds into the point. Dumps it behind the net for Elias Lindholm. Lindholm to the right corner. Banks it back to the line. Ian Cole. Left point. Quinn Hughes. Long shot. Missed high and wide of the target. And Cole holds in right point again. Zadorov behind the net for Garland. Fred Lindholm scores! Elias Lindholm wins it for the Canucks. 1:02 into overtime. He beats UC Soros from the slot. And Vancouver has a stranglehold on this series. They lead it 3-1. And they win it in Nashville 4-3.
Dramatic win by the Canucks. Brendan Batchelor with the call there. Brock Besser scored at 17:11 and 19:52 of the third, completing a hat trick, sending it to overtime after the Canucks were down 3-1 late. Lindholm wins it 1:02 into the extra session. So Vancouver 4-3 the final. As we check the scoreboard for Advantage Trailer Rentals, your one-stop source for commercial trailer rentals, visit AdvantageTrailerRentals.com. Rangers finished off the sweep of the Capitals with a 4-2 decision. And Rob, the Winnipeg Jets facing elimination down 3-1 to Colorado now after the Avalanche won this afternoon 5-1.
Well, the Winnipeg Jets are starting to realize how good the Colorado Avalanche are. The Jets won game one because Georgie the Fifth was god-awful. But since then, the Avs have taken it to a level that the Jets can't compete at. I've watched some of those games. The Avs are fast. And then today, Cale Makar scored a goal that was all-world. He went through the entire team and scored. Did you watch any of the Vancouver game today?
I had it on here while I was prepping for the broadcast, so I was kind of watching it with one eye, yeah.
Did you see Nashville actually hit the open net post?
I forgot about that.
A half an inch from tying up the series in a game that they deserved to win. I turned the game off in the third period. I didn't think they'd score, get two shots on net Vancouver, let alone two goals. But the Vancouver Canucks, I think they should put that the guy that backed up today, see if they can win a series with four different goaltenders winning all four different games. I just looked at the scoreboard going forward as you were talking. All series could be over. on Wednesday night when the Oilers play against the LA Kings. The entire NHL playoff first round could be done that night if everything goes well for the teams that are leading in the series. But tomorrow night's a big night. I think there's three or four teams that have a chance to eliminate their opponents. It's getting that, it's that fun time of year, Reed, where you're starting to look at not only at who you're playing now, but who you might be playing in the next round.
Yeah, they're actual must wins, which you refuse to let anybody use until the team could be eliminated. The Panthers can eliminate the Lightning tomorrow, Stars and Golden Knights tomorrow, so nobody's out in that one. But then on Tuesday, Toronto, the Islanders, the Jets, and the Predators will all be facing elimination. The Oilers do play Wednesday. I don't know when. I know it's here. I know it's in the building that I'm currently in. They have not announced a game time. There will be a Golden Knights Stars game, so I would assume Panthers Lightning will see. There will be a Golden Knights and Stars game five, so I assume there'll be some sort of a doubleheader with the Stars going first. So probably a late one there for the Oilers. 1-0, the Oilers win in a, sorry, Rob, were you saying something?
Nope, go ahead.
1-0, the Oilers win tonight in L.A., so they lead this series 3-1. 780-496-0063, we have Shaden on the line. Shaden, go ahead.
Hey, Reed, hey, Rob. I know Rob alluded to it earlier. I just had a couple comments. The only thing that would have made this game more interesting tonight, if we would have had a midnight start tonight. I'm happy we're not on the East Coast. yikes. But, yeah, Rob said it was just – it was a gritty playoff game, and just the way the power play came in clutch again, the LA Kings. I mean, it was a good game for them. Like you said, it was the best game for them, but give the Oilers that opportunity. You're going to capitalize. You leave one, you take one guy out, you have four more open, but just a great game. I mean, Rob kind of already talked about everything, but my other question too is, now the Oilers have 2 days off, is that going to benefit them or the LA Kings more? I'll leave it with that, but I also just wanted to say Skinner had another really good game, but thanks for taking my call, guys.
Thanks.
Good question. I don't know if either team has an advantage with the extra day off. I think both teams need it. That was as physical a hockey game as I've seen since I've been doing the Oilers games. It was, if you touched the puck, you were getting hit and hit hard. I mean, you started looking at just guys on the Oilers. You rarely ever see Connor get knocked down or Hyman or Kane. And numerous times those players were. And then you look the other side, Doughty got run over a number of times. It was physical. I imagine both teams will be taking tomorrow off to rest their bodies. And some of the players might need 2 days off to get prepared for the game on Wednesday. So I don't think either team has an advantage, but I think both teams will take advantage of the extra day off to heal their bodies.
Remember, Rob, last year there were 3 days between games 5 and 6. They played April 25th and then April 29th. That was unusual last year. The Oilers won game 5 at home, went into Los Angeles and won to finish the series. So I don't know if momentum or cooling off or anything like that is a factor, but I think you're right. Both teams will probably heal some bruises after this one. We have Chris on the line as well. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Reed. Hey, Rob. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Well, I got to say, quite the interesting game for only 1-0. It feels weird seeing that from especially this Oilers team, but certainly not going to complain about it. A couple of things I just wanted to mention. First was the power play. It's amazing even just one opportunity, and they still managed to find a way to capitalize it on it. Funny number I saw online after the game. So with that power play, Edmonton's 53.3% in the series through the first four games. They were 54.5% in the first four games last year against LA. So it's funny how they had a less, slightly less streak, but they're still producing well. And the other one is Stuart Skinner. Not a crazy, it didn't look like he had to make the 10 bell saves. I actually saw Sport Logic showed high danger chances in the game. We're 7-4 in favor of Edmonton tonight, which was surprising to me.
I'm glad you brought that up, because a natural stat trick has it at 14-4 in favor of the Kings, which I think that's a little high, including 8-0 in the second period. So they didn't count Bouchard's goal as a high danger chance, oddly enough. But anyway, I'll let you finish.
Yeah, that was,
no one's ever stood in front of a 100-mile-an-hour slap shot, apparently.
Sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
I just have one more thing. I know you were just talking about the Jets-Colorado series. I'm sure people were probably thinking after game two, the way it kind of went out and how Skinner would probably like some back. I'm sure people are going to be surprised when the fact that Skinner not only gets the first playoff shutout of the 24 playoffs this year, but manages to steal a game for his team before Connor Hellebuck does. I'll leave that with you guys. Have a good night.
Yeah, well, playoffs are different, right? And sometimes a good player, whether it's a goalie or not, has a bad game, then sometimes that's how his season gets remembered, which isn't always fair, Rob. But
having said that, I'm not sure it's on Hellebuck in Winnipeg. I've watched that series. It's men versus boys. Colorado is that good.
They're fast. It surprises me it's turning out to be that lopsided.
Really, I agree. Well, it's funny. They showed a stat tonight that during the regular season, the Jets were 3-1 against Colorado and were plus 10, I think it was. And in the playoffs, they're 1-3 and they're minus 13. The Colorado Avalanche are good. They're not fully healthy right now. They're missing Drouin out of their lineup, who had, I think, 30 goals for them on their first line this year. But they are fast. And I think that's what's catching the Winnipeg Jets by surprise, is how fast Colorado is. And the Jets can't keep up. The other series, the Vegas-Dallas series, it looked over after the first two games, but Dallas was outstanding in Vegas. One might go a little further.
Yeah, great overtime winner too. Oilers win this one 1-0. Whenever they score five or more in a game, we turn on the Japanese Village goal light on 630ched.com. Japanese Village now open for lunch at Edmonton South and West Edmonton Mall. An afternoon celebration for the census. Visit jvedmonton.ca. All right, let's go to Brent on our open line. Brent, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, I was just wondering, we seem to get, they're taking it to us. They're really being physical. And I'm just kind of wondering why there's so many flybys on the other side when we're a big enough team to be able to play that game.
I see two teams being very, very physical out there. As Drew Doughty, if there's any flybys on him, he is the most hit player in this series. They've kept track of it on Sportsnet, and he's been hit more than any other player, and that's the most important player for the LA Kings. So, yeah, I don't see the game the same way as you do. I think LA has been very physical. They need to be. But I think the Edmonton Oilers have been very physical as well.
Yeah, the hits tonight, according to NHL.com, were in favor of the Kings, 41-27. I mean, the Kings were physical. I don't know. I've never felt like the Oilers were passing up opportunities to hit necessarily.
Nope.
I don't know.
I think this has been an incredibly physical series. I think the Oilers are just as physical as any team. I thought the LA Kings were a little bit better than the Oilers tonight. They were more desperate than they needed to be. This was a huge game for the LA Kings, but yeah, I do not see any Edmonton Oilers flying by anywhere on the ice. I think they did a great job finishing checks and having the entire series.
All right, let's go back to Los Angeles. They were at the podium together, the shutout and the game-winning goal. Here's Skinner and Bouchard.
Evan, since we know the players hate talking about themselves, I want you to maybe just give us a thought on the guy next to you tonight and what he gave you guys between the pipes.
Be careful.
What's that?
Be careful.
Yeah, he was great for us tonight. Obviously, he was the rock when we made mistakes. He was there to support us. And, when you're not letting in any goals, you're going to win the game. So he was great for us.
And I never want to make excuses out there, but it appeared from where we were that the ice puck was bouncing a bit, and you were ripping it from the point there. Was that part of your guys' approach on the power play, just get it to the net?
They were kind of just giving taking what they were giving us. Whether that was the shot up top, play down low, or whatever it was, we're kind of just improvising.
Stu, you had some really bad puck luck in the first couple of games. Pucks going in off skates, guys whacking it out of the air. When you get that kind of those kind of bounces, you just figure eventually it's all going to even out, and because you know it's been pretty steady since then.
Yeah, I think bounces have still kind of gone both ways in some circumstances. I think that just us for a team, knowing that that's kind of part of the game. It's, you know, I think we've just kind of left it. Kind of like background music, just kind of, you know, focusing on what we can do besides the bounces. I mean, that's just sometimes it's going to happen, and it's how you respond to it. So I think that as a team, we've been doing a really good job at it.
Can you give us a thought on your growth when you were here a year ago and now? I guess how much have you grown, and how different are you as a goaltender?
Yeah, I've changed a lot. That's going through all the experiences that I've been able to go through the past year. And, you know, when you use those things to learn and grow as a person, as a teammate, as a player, you know, you're going to keep getting better. And I think that's what I'm just going to keep doing.
Let me ask a version of the same question. You know, you and Vinny Desharnais some while ago were in the East Coast League together.
Yep.
You both were rookies in the playoffs last year, and here you are tonight. You're getting a shutout, and he's out there with, you know, on the last shift blocking shots and playing great. Can you maybe just give us a feel for how far you two came together?
Yeah, we've come a long ways. It's pretty special for us to both, you know, even beyond being on the same team, you know, 6 years later from kind of being in the dark days, being in the dungeon a bit. And I think that, you know, going through that together is extremely helpful, just as us as friends and teammates, but also individually. If you asked him the same thing, you'd say the same thing. Like, we wouldn't change it for the world.
Stu, can you give us an idea of the work that your defensemen did in front of you, not just even tonight, but here in LA as a whole, the last two games?
Yeah, it's been amazing to watch. Obviously, the guy sitting next to me, but also all the decor, also all the forwards, the amount of block shots. I'm not too sure how many it was tonight, but, I mean, we were just, the guys were grinding for me. You know, we were just going, getting through every single puck. You know, we were getting pucks in, then when we were getting hemmed in the D zone, we were able to win some battles on the boards and being able to kind of flip pucks out. And just you know, I think we just really played a man's game out there, and I you know, I'm really proud of the group.
And Evan, I think anyone here can figure out the difference between 2-2 and 3-1 in a series. What do you think this win can do for you guys in the long run? And obviously you're trying to you know, close it out on Wednesday.
Yeah, it's going to be a big game on Wednesday. You know, getting the opportunity to win it at home is going to be huge for us. But to have a win, 1-0 win, is even bigger for us, knowing we can win those games that are tight. We can win those games that if we need to score some more goals. But all in all, we're ready to get back home and try to finish the job Wednesday.
This is for Stuart back here. Do certain teams, certain opponents bring out the best in you? Like, do you know when you're playing the Kings that you really have to bring your A game?
Yeah, when you play the Kings, you always know that they're going to give you a hard time. They obviously got some, you know, a lot of offensive threats. You know that they're never going to go away. And I think that they've proved that over, you know, many, many seasons. So, yeah, it's very respectable team. I mean, they're a great opponent, and they bring out the best in everybody, I believe. But yeah, to be honest, no matter what team you're playing against, you're always trying to get better and, you know, bring the best that you can possibly bring. And I think, you know, especially playing against these guys, it's such a fight out there. So it's fun games to play in.
Evan, there are guys that shoot the puck hard and guys that are incredibly accurate, and it's kind of rare to have both, I guess. I just wanted to ask about how did you develop that shot, and, you know, because it's so precise, but it is so hard.
I think a lot of it's just repetition. You know, and those guys, you know, laying it in there for me or putting me in good spots. So I think mostly the biggest thing is just getting it by that first blocker, because normally if you do that, the puck's going to end up in the corner. It's just a matter of... you know, picking the right side. Like I said, the guys set me up or putting in a pretty good spot for me.
Back left there.
great job in the net tonight. Everything looked easy, though, the saves. They didn't really feel like it was like any hard shot. Were you just in that type of zone tonight, or where you just, they weren't just, you know, nothing felt really hard for them, like a hard slap shot. It just felt easy. A lot of your saves were just blocks where you can cover up quickly. Is that just a zone you're in tonight, or just the shots just weren't that hard?
I appreciate that. They were, they definitely gave me a hard time out there. I think, it's a lot of work that I've put in to, you know, try to make saves look easy. I don't think any save in the NHL is easy, to be honest. It's a hard league. And, you know, just like I was saying, LA is just, you know, they bring it every single night. So, obviously a great team. I was sweating a lot by the end of the third, so they definitely made it hard on us. To answer the question, it was a tough night, it's looking forward to the future of playing these guys again and playing a great strong game.
All right, Stuart Skinner and Evan Bouchard. Yeah, I don't think he had an easy night by any means, Roth.
No, he was busy. And there was, the thing is, whenever one team has possession in your own zone for long extended times and the puck keeps being thrown on net, there, we saw the game in Edmonton, game one, pucks hit skates and go in. There's always a chance for a mistake. I think it was funny after, was it game two where we had the caller call in and didn't like the way that Stuart Skinner answered the questions, didn't like the way he talked about, you know, this was a lucky goal. And he said, no, he's got to be mad that those goals went in. What I like about Stuart Skinner is he knows when he's on, he knows when he's off, he knows, here's how this went in, I'm going to have to go look at that. His even keel attitude, I think, is so important for a goalie. I've played with teams that their goalies are, you know, so... they get angry and they can't let things go and it affects them the next time out or the next shot or the next period. But if you have a guy that just, all right, okay, that beat me. I'll be better next time. Oh, I learned from that. The calmness that Stuart Skinner has, it resonates through the dressing room. And as a player, that's the kind of goalie you want.
All right, Oilers win it 1-0 over the Los Angeles Kings. We'll get to a couple more phone calls, and you'll hear from defenseman Matthias Ekholm. Hey, it's Monday morning. It's 30 minutes past midnight. It's Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Live Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Here's Reed Wilkins on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 6:30 Chad.
Okay, 1-0. Oilers beat the Kings. Bouchard with the only goal. Skinner a 33 save shutout. One of the callers mentioned first shutout of the playoffs for anybody. First shutout of Skinner's playoff career. So the Oilers are up 3-1. They can win the series Wednesday at Rogers Place. Again, we don't know when that game is going to start. Well, that one caller suggested maybe midnight, Rob. Why not?
Well, I do want to thank the Oilers and the Kings tonight for playing a very quick game.
It was.
For the 9 p.m. start that we had. It was kind of nice to get it over with. I'm hoping all other series are done and that the Oilers can be the early game at some point, because it is silly that these games are starting at 8:30 or 8:50. It's just not fair to all the fans here in Edmonton who have to work the next day, have to stay up late. In a game like this, you ain't going to bed early. 1-0 game like this one.
No. Great crowd here at Rogers Place for the watch party. Not quite as large as others, and I think because of the day of the week and the start time, Rob. But it's incredible being here. Like, as I've said, they're chanting, "Let's go, Oilers." Like, the game's in L.A., you know? But it just shows you how great the fans are and how into it they are. So, yeah, hopefully the Oilers can get a home ice series victory for everybody here on Wednesday. We got Keenan on the line as well. Keenan, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you guys?
Good.
Hope we have some strong coffee tonight. Oh, man. Late games they bring out the best. But I just got to say, too, you can't hear him right now. You can't hear everyone chirping Skinner after one game. And 1-0 hockey, and seeing the way the Oilers can play the defensive hockey in 1-0 hockey games, yeah, we got outshot pretty bad. But we played to LA, who was going to come out firing. We played to them, and I like that style where, too, you know, where we can dump it in at the red line. and to dump. Okay, well, let them brush the puck back up. But what do you guys think? Like, is for games like this here, are they really that boring, or are they just all your edge of the seat kind of games? Like, you know, I mean, sorry, I'm going on. It's midnight. I'm tired.
No, I didn't find this game boring at all. Maybe I'm alone, Rob. I mean, a couple people. Friends of mine, well, and as you know, Rob, my mom's always tense. She texted me that how fast her heart was beating. Yeah, I'd be surprised if anybody was bored, but maybe I'm wrong.
I thought this was an incredibly entertaining game. It didn't have the goals, but it certainly had the physicality and some viciousness to it. And to me, any game that stays within two, you're entertained because you're one shot away from making a game at all times. So these are the games I prefer. I prefer watching this over the game that the Oilers played the other night because it's way more entertaining because there's stress at all times for both teams. And I thought tonight was an incredibly entertaining game that both teams played well in.
Yeah. We got Sir Robert on the line as well. Sir Robert, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Well, I mean, obviously, I mean, I'll be the first to admit that following game two, I was one of the ones that was saying, obviously out loud to myself and maybe to whoever would listen, that Skinner's not the guy. Skinner's not good enough. Well, you know what? The last two games, Skinner, you know what? I'm going to say this. Skinner sure as heck shut me up. I'll tell you that. Obviously, you know, tonight it was, tonight was one of those games where, you know, like Skinner, he looked like, I think you guys may have touched on this, but like he looked like, he just kind of had that look like he just maybe not knew, but you just had that feeling that he wasn't going to get scored on tonight. So obviously it was, you know, nice to see him. I don't know if you want to say steal the game, but, you know, it's a good win. But then I'll finish off with this. The special teams, I think our power play is now, 8 for 15, and LA's 0 for 11. So, you know, obviously, you know, I want to see us on Wednesday close it out and just move on to, I mean, it's looking like it's going to be Vancouver in the second round. So that'd be a dandy of a series.
Yeah, all Canadian would be good. I'm not there quite yet, Rob. Edmonton and Vancouver have the advantage, but you never want to. I don't want to talk too much about it until it happens. But
well, I mean, looking at the Vancouvers, I mean, they're on their third string goaltender right now, so I don't think anything's for sure there either. I mean, the Nashville Predators were the better team the last two games. The Canucks just found ways to win, and this series hopefully is over for the Oilers on Wednesday, but. The Kings, if they play the way they play tonight, they give themselves a chance to win. So I agree. I wouldn't start setting up babysitters for the Vancouver-Edmonton series, but it does look that way, and it's the series I'm hoping for because an all-Canadian series sets up the fact that one of four teams in the Final Four will be Canadian.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. It would be fun to see. I thought, Rob, too, I mean, look, the Oilers were outshot. The formula, perhaps, in terms of the shot clock and some of the zone time LA had is not great to do this every night. But I did also think that the Oilers played a fairly mature game. You know, there were a lot of, okay, flip the puck out. Let's not try to make a hope play. Let's not get impatient. And I think they exhibited that over the last, you know, 10 or 11 minutes as well when they killed the penalty and then kind of nursed it to the finish line. And it was tense. But, I mean, you saw, you know, Nugent Hopkins, I remember he flipped one out. You know, guys just making sure they got the puck out down the stretch.
Well, I think what you saw with L.A. tonight, every shot they had, they earned. And I think we've seen in games with the Oilers over the course of this season. And, I mean, in the game that the LA Kings won, there were plays that the Oilers made that gave the LA Kings opportunities where there was a misread or a misjudgment or a turnover. I mean, the Kopitar game-winning goal, a misread by Darnell Nurse gave Kopitar a breakaway. So in this game tonight, you're right. The Oilers were professional. The LA Kings are a good hockey club. You don't make the playoffs by being a bad hockey club. They're in the playoffs because they had a good season. I think they had 99 points on the year. They will have a push, and there will be parts of a game where they're the better team. But the Oilers, I thought they didn't run around. They didn't take penalties. They didn't make big mistakes. Stuart Skinner, when he made the first save, there wasn't a second or a third one there as well. They cleared the puck out. So, yeah, I agree. I don't think the Oilers had their A-plus game today, but I do think they played well enough to get a victory on the back of a power play and good goaltending. So, the last 7 to 9 minutes of this hockey game, the Oilers played perfect. They did all the little things correct and gave the LA Kings nothing.
1-0 is your final. You're going to hear from Matthias Ekholm when we get back. You're listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line.
Oilers hockey is brought to you by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. This is the Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line on the official voice of your Edmonton Oilers. 630 Chad.
Loose puck off the draw. Nurse not able to clear. Kempe right point shot blocked and the rebound cleared. And Edmonton will win game four. Stuart Skinner with his first career Stanley Cup playoff shutout. Final score. The Edmonton Oilers won. The LA Kings nothing. The Oilers take game four and take command of this best of seven, 3-1.
What a performance from Stuart Skinner tonight.
Jack Michaels and Bob Stauffer calling the final seconds of this game. Stauff said it. What a performance by Skinner. 33 saves. So the two games in L.A., he makes 60 saves on 61 shots. 1-0. The Oilers win tonight. They lead the best of seven, 3-1. Here's defenseman Matthias Ekholm.
You talked about before the playoffs started about having to win games along the way that aren't smooth sailing and where it's not the perfect game for your team. Does this fit in as one of those?
Yeah, I think so. I'm a smart man, right?
Oh, yeah. Predicted all
things. No, it's all jokes aside, that's exactly what that is, right? Like, sometimes it's not going to be your seven goals, four. And it's a real strength of ours, showing we can win games this way. And again, Stu was great. I thought our team defense was good. They had obviously more shots than us, but I thought we limited the chances that were quality grade A's. I'm not sure. I'm sure there's some stat for that, but it didn't feel like they had those unbelievable looks in front of our goaltender, which was good. So I completely agree with you. This is one of those you have to squeak them out.
Just a thought on your goaltender, because he got off to a rough start. You guys, you know, pucks were going in off skates past him, but just the way he rebounded and just the way he played today.
Yeah, no, it felt like we got away, or not got away. I felt like early on we just kind of got a lot of them, and hopefully all of them, because it seemed to be a lot better lately with the puck luck in that regard. So I thought he was unbelievable. I think he has shown that he's taken steps as a goaltender as well. I think he's way calmer. I think he's positionally very sound right now, and you have to really make a good play to beat him right now, which is obviously a great feeling for us, knowing that he's the backbone of our team.
What do you see in the difference maybe in his demeanor and things from this year from last year? Because last year he was kind of rookie thrown into the mix. This year he was kind of the guy all the way.
Yeah, I think he's taking it. I mean, obviously early on it was back and forth, but as soon as he gripped onto it and kind of realized, okay, I'm the guy. He's just been running with it all year. He's been great for us. I think he's showing it game in and game out. And as any goaltender, they're going to have an off night, but I think his biggest strength is the way he rebounds after those nights. And that's, in my opinion, a sign of a really, really good goaltender. You can't always control 82 games in playoffs and be on the top of your game every night, but you can always control how you rebound and how you respond to those games, and I think that's a strength of his.
Yeah, about the players like you and Vinny and maybe Cody and Darnell, do you guys like these games maybe more than a 6-5 game? Is this kind of like what you're built for, so to speak, as a defenseman?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I mean, these are, you can tell too on the bench after you have a couple periods of, okay, we're playing good defense, guys kind of galvanized around that too, and they're just like, okay, we're just going to have one of those nights tonight. And obviously us on the back end, that's how we want to play the game. But it's fun to score goals as well, and that's a great part of the game. But sometimes you have to do these, and again, I think having on our or I guess in our portfolio that we can play a lot of different games is going to be huge here and coming down the stretch. And again, I thought we showed it tonight that yeah, these games are, we're not afraid of them.
When you think about the series that Vinny had, a couple of against Los Angeles last year, a couple of moments that he didn't like, and you kind of helped him through that. Can you think about how far he's come now and how big of a game he had tonight?
I mean, I think he's been great all year, to be honest with you. You can tell kind of the same things that I said about Stu. It's the calmness, it's the demeanor, it's, you can't really, obviously you can see it on the ice, but you can also see it in the way they act. They're more calm, they've been through it. It's experience. It's not a ton of experience, it's just a year, but in the beginning of your career, it makes wonders for you, and I remember myself too. I mean, from year one to year two, it's huge difference. So you can tell they're almost like they're a little, just an inch taller, right? Like they just chest out, and I think Vinny has been one of our, if not the best D-man we've had so far this series.
I'm not sure he needs to grow another inch, eh?
No, he's tall enough, I guess.
You talked about the consistency of the defensive structure. It seemed like emotionally you guys were very even keel out there as well. How much of that is a reflection of Coach Knobloch? He seems like a guy doesn't really get his heart rate up much on the bench.
Yeah, he's a big part of that, absolutely. And I feel like throughout the season we've shown that when we do stay calm, we tend to play better as a team as well. And the times we get rallied up or you yell at the refs or this and that, usually we get off script and it doesn't go our way. So I think the guys have seen that. We've rallied around it. And I think we're trying to stay as calm as we can on the bench. And he helps us out in that regard in a big way.
Okay, that's Matthias Ekholm as the Oilers tough it out, a 1-0 victory over the Los Angeles Kings. Get more on this game, more on the team on 630ched.com, globalnews.ca. Game 5 is Wednesday. It's at Rogers Place. I cannot tell you when it starts, but we will let you know when we know. It'll be live on 630 Ched. I also do know that. Big thanks to Kellen Kennedy, our studio producer this evening. Our game, of course, was presented by the Butcher Shop at Friesen Brothers. On behalf of Rob Brown, I'm Reed Wilkins. Thanks for listening to Heartland Ford Overtime Open Line. Bush bombs and Skinner saves. Oilers take it 1-0.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.